Yeah, so we thank God for another good morning, and it's another day that we have to praise His name. It's a new month. We are grateful to God for His faithfulness, and we are in the book of Galatians, and today we're in Galatians chapter 4, and we continue to see this discourse that Paul has with the Galatian church. And remember, there are three churches there that Paul is trying to address, and is mainly concerned with the issue about keeping of the law versus the new covenant. And you see, this church was still being confused, you know, by people coming to tell them they need to be circumcised, they need to follow certain customs and laws, and observing certain days and traditions. And I don't know whether you encounter people who are like, oh, no, we are celebrating this Jewish day. This is this time of the Jewish time. We need to be doing this. And you ask yourself, hey, are you in Christ? Are you Christian or are you Jew? And, you know, there will always be all these arguments that, you know, these are important Jewish priests, important Jewish festivals. They happen at this time. They had a reason this. They're in the Bible. But you see, the challenge with that is people fail to understand that in the new life, in the new creation, in true Christianity and understanding, there is a freedom and there's a liberty that we have been given apart from all this keeping of these traditions, keeping of these new Sabbaths, new moon, you know, all these festivals that people struggle to follow and keep. And what we are called to is liberty in Christ. And you see, when you look at Galatians chapter 4 from verse 8, Paul starts to express this fear, and he says, but then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those things which by nature are not God's. But now, after you have known God, or rather, are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. You see, he's a bit concerned. He's like, hey, you know that, first of all, there was a time where you were not known by God, or rather, and you did not even know God, but now you know God. And beyond that, you just knowing God, you are now known by God. And why are you going back to be enslaved to the beggarly elements? We are no longer under the elements. We are not under slaves to the elements. And you can think about it, when he's speaking of the elements, he's speaking of those who are looking at the sun, those who are looking at the seasons, those who are observing certain days and months and seasons and years. And you know, it was such a thing, not only among the Jews, but also among the Gentiles. They, you know, every time you find this season is starting, there's a festival for it, they have to observe it. And Paul is wondering, look here, did I labor for you in vain? And he says, I am afraid for you. Now, verse 12 says, brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first, and my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now, you remember, we always used to ask ourselves, what is this? You know, when he used to say that three times I pleaded with the Lord to remove it, but a thorn in the flesh was given to me. I always try to argue that this thorn in the flesh was a sickness, because he says a sickness in his body. And when you look at the book of Galatians, we can see that even when he went to preach to the Galatians church, he preached to them out of a sickness. That means he was having an eye issue. Either there was a problem with his eye, and it was something that either he had prayed to God for it to be healed and it had not been healed. But you can see that he was preaching to a people. He is having a weakness. And you see, this is, it's like a priest with infirmity. You know, someone is coming to preach and he needs the healing himself, but yet he carries the healing. So you can see, Paul has the power of God, has the wisdom of God. He is a representative of Christ. But yet when he's coming to preach to the Galatian churches, he is coming to them with an infirmity. But you see, there was something that God gave the grace to the Galatian churches, that you can see that he even says that, I bear witness that if possible, you guys will even have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. That means that he could understand that these guys, they loved him so much and they received him as an angel of God. You know, they did not just receive him as a human being. They had the word of God. They received him as an angel of God. And they were even willing, if it were possible, they would have given him their own eyes such that he would be able to, you know, to see. But that, and then now he asked them, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So verse 17, he says, they zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again, for whom I travail in birth again, until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. So you can see Paul is really a burden to him, and he calls them my children, and he's like, again, I'm again in the pains of childbirth. Until what? Until Christ is formed in you. You know, the thing about, you know, pastoring and the thing about being a leader is you want Christ to be formed in the congregation, or Christ to be formed in a person. Why? Because the moment someone is, you know, is born again, and there's still those things that either at the soul level or at the body level that someone is still not yet delivered. Many times they are born again. Yes, their spirit is made new, but you see their mind, their soul needs to be renewed. That's why the Bible says you need to renew yourselves by the word of God. Renew your mind, but then also your body needs to be offered to the Lord as a living sacrifice. You need to die to the flesh. So now when this is the case, then that is the process of Christ being formed in a person, formation of Christ. And that is the, you know, bringing up the person that in the character, that they are no longer just, you know, who they were before in the past, but indeed this Christ formation has started to begin, and they're now living like Christ and acting like Christ, thinking like Christ, and behaving in all manner like Christ. And it is actually a process. And that's why at times people wonder, ah, but you said you got born again. Why are you still this way? There's still a process of Christ formation being in you. Yes, you're born again. Yes, your spirit is made new, is regenerated. Yes, you have the nature, the divine nature of God. But you see, even that divine nature needs to work until it is formed, until your mind is renewed and your body is killed, or you kill yourself, or you kill your body. That means you kill your fleshly desires and you leave them at the foot of the cross until Christ is formed. So Paul is very clear. He says, he cries to them, my dear children, I'm worried about you. I'm having my doubts. I know people want to win you over. Remember, there are all these teachers who want to win over these people. And he tells them, yes, it's good that they are zealous for you, but it is good to be zealous for the right thing. Because if you're zealous for the wrong thing, you will be lost. And now he asks them this question of the two covenants. Now tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, that is a slave woman, and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he who was of the free woman through the promise. which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, we are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. You know, at times when you reflect, like let's say when you go back to the story of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar, at times you will wonder, hey, it sounds so unfair. You know, you can imagine Hagar was just a slave. She was just chilling, having no issues, and then her master does not have a child, Sarah, and then so her mistress. So what does Sarah tell Abram? Go and lie in with my mistress. And Abram obeyed. He went and got a child, and then Ishmael was born. Now, this was a point where they were told that they will get an heir, that they are going to have, you know, they are going to be the father of many nations. Yes, God had given them a promise, but you see, the period of waiting took long. And Sarah and Abraham took matters in their own hands, and they did it according to their flesh. Many times, and this is where people go wrong, you don't wait for God to move you, you don't wait for God's direction, and you start something in your own human effort. And when you do that, what happens is that it becomes an Ishmael. It becomes a child of a slave woman. Why? Because it is coming from the flesh. It is not being backed by the promise. And you see, that's the difference between when you've done something on your own human effort or when something that God has guided you. Maybe it is a ministry that you want to start. When you want to start a ministry on your own human effort, it will be an Ishmael. It will struggle. It will be under Mount Sinai. But then if you want to do something that is led by the Spirit, inspired by the Spirit, aided by the Spirit, it is, you know, it is commissioned by the Spirit of God, then that is an Isaac. And many times you will find these two will always be in conflict. And you can always think that, you know, it was so unfair to Hagar because, yes, she got pregnant. Of course, she started to mistreat her mistress. She despised her. Then she was mistreated. She ran away. But then she meets God. She was crying. But then God gives her a promise that, you know, I will be taking care of the child and all that. So she goes back, go back to your mistress. But then later on, then when Isaac is born, and then Ishmael, the child, starts to mock Isaac, then Sarah says that, no, this woman and her child cannot be here because they want the inheritance of my son. And she asks Abraham to chase her away, and Abraham was distressed. But then God tells Abraham, do, Sarah is right, do what she says. So at that point, you will wonder, but why is God unfair over one child or another? But you see, all of these things were illustrations for us. And remember, whenever we say that the Old Testament is a pointing finger to Christ, it is a representation of what we are in Christ, God was trying to illustrate a principle, and you're saying that is of the slave woman is put away, and that's why the scripture says, cast out the bondwoman and her son, the slave woman and her son. And now the difficulty is, or the mystery is now, is saying Jerusalem, which is where the Israelites are, where the Jews are, is saying that they are actually the ones who are of the slave woman. Why? Because they're under slavery. They're under slavery of the law. They want to keep all these elements. They want to observe these days. They want to observe this season. They are thinking they can achieve righteousness on their own accord. Yet, there is a righteousness that is given that is from Christ that does not take human effort, but only it takes faith, justification by faith, putting of our faith in Christ. And when we put our faith in Christ, then we are born again. So you can see the scripture says, cast out the bond woman. So God actually say that we should not be in slavery. So Hagar was sent away with her child because she shall not have any share with the inheritance of the child of the promise. You see, when Abraham knew that Ishmael is not blessed, he prayed to God to bless Ishmael. And God said, okay, I will do it. For your sake, I will do it. But you see, for Isaac, Isaac did not need to be prayed for the blessing. Isaac came already blessed. When you wait on God, when you wait on God, when you wait on God, the blessings of God come on their own. It does not come with sorrow. But you see, when you do things on your own effort, many of the times you find it is Ishmael. And the Bible says the child, you know, of the slave woman will always persecute the child of the promise. So anytime you create an Ishmael, it will always fight the Isaac when the Isaac has come. So always this will be in bondage. And indeed, even today we see this bondage is there. But now, as I said, he's making it worse, saying that actually now the Israelites are actually the ones who are the children of the slave woman. Because why? The covenant that was made on Mount Sinai, comparing the two covenants, one, the one of Mount Sinai, and the new covenant of the new Jerusalem, is the old covenant is of Mount Sinai, is of bondage, and that is Hagar. But then we are from Jerusalem above. And Jerusalem from above is free. That means that we are, in fact, the Bible says, more are the children of the barren woman, the one who has no husband. You know, when we speak of those prophecies of Christ, that he died, you know, he had no one to carry his name. But yet, many, many are the children that are born to Christ, that are born after him, that we that are born again are part of that promise. So the question is, do you want to be under the promise? Do you want to be under the new covenant? Do you want to be of the Jerusalem above? Or it is something that you still want to be born under the law? So that's the biggest question that Paul is asking the Galatian churches. Which covenant do you want to choose? Covenant of slavery or the covenant of freedom? Well, this is where I think we can stop for today, and I pray that God will give us more insight into this, and even as we reflect on it and ask ourselves, whatever that we do, is it inspired of God? Is it an Isaac, or is it something that we are trying to help God, trying to do out of our own effort? And unfortunately, when we do that, we don't end up in the right direction. May God have mercy on us and give us grace and wisdom in all this. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Pastor. Indeed, Ishmael is the seed of disobedience, is the seed of impatience, is the seed and representation of man taking matters in his own hand, despite his commandment. I think it's a good lesson that we need to trust and wait on God. His time is always opportune. The repercussions of going against God's will, I think we can all see them. They can be far-reaching, and they can have implications for generations after generations. I think, as you say, choose you now. Do you want to be the children of the promise, or you want to be the children of the flesh? I think as Christians, we want to be the children of the promise.
Mm.
I'll leave that now and over to you.
Okay, amen, amen. Good question. Do you want to be children of the flesh or children of the promise? I pray that we all be children of the promise. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you for your word that has come to us this morning, that indeed you desire that we be free, not again under bondage to the elements, to days, to season, to festivals, and to looking at things that are to make us righteous, but yet to be free, to be of Jerusalem above, that those that look unto you, those that depend on you, those that are led by your spirit, those that are under the new covenant, that we are not again under bondage to the laws of Moses, but indeed we are under the new covenant, under Christ, and indeed where we are fulfilling the law of love, where you have called us to liberty, and indeed you have not called us again to live under slavery, but Lord, to be free. And I pray for freedom of heart, freedom of minds, freedom of understanding, and even as Paul cries out that, my dear children, I pray, I'm again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in us. I pray that you may be formed in our lives, may be formed in our thoughts, you may be formed in our actions, that indeed, even how we interact with others, the Lord, where we have failed in one way or another, the Lord, you help us to be more Christ-like, O God, that the flesh and the shall not win, but rather that you always are made manifest in all things. Forgive our failures, forgive where we've gone wrong. And I pray even for those that have various needs, the Lord, you go ahead of them, protect them, open doors, provide. I pray for healing. Those that need a touch from you, the Lord, you touch them. Those that need a refreshing and infill of your spirit, may they be refreshed this morning. And even in this new month, the Lord, may we walk in the newness and the fullness of the grace of God. May we walk in understanding. May we walk in victory, O God. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Have a blessed, blessed day ahead.
Mm-hmm.